week two of a series that we're calling True Colors on Psalm 139. Psalm 139. And I want to back up. Every week I'm going to come back and catch you up. Last week, we just walked down through the passage. Psalm 139. It's an incredible psalm. It is one you'll never kind of get to the bottom of. And here's what we found last week. We have David, one of the most respected, one of the most revered, one of the most overwhelming, one of the most courageous, one of the most powerful characters in the Bible, all right, is writing this psalm. He is a murderer. He is an adulterer. He is a sinner. But he is also a man after God's own heart, all right? And we get a glimpse into his heart and the heart of God as he finds himself in the battlefield. And as David slays his thousands, Saul slays his thousands, and David his tens of thousands, what we find is that David has conquered overwhelmingly over and over again every army that he's taken on. But at this point in time, he is in a battle and he's losing. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. This is when he's crying out. They speak with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you and abhor those who rebel against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them as my enemies. See, here's what happens. David finally goes to the one who can listen, and he rips into him. All right? Have you ever been in a situation where you were like, I give my tithe. I raise my children the best I know how. I go to church. I work vacation Bible school for crying out loud. I serve once a week in children's ministry with two-year-olds. I do middle school on Wednesday nights. All right? God, what else is it that you want from me? Why is it that my father just had a heart attack? Why is it that my child just got diagnosed with a disease? Why is it that the adoption that I want so badly never goes through? Two children, three children, four children in my home, years, heart poured out, brought to church. Why, God? Anybody ever been there? I do all the right things, I say all the right things, and everything's pulled out from under you. Here's David. Ain't I a man after your own heart? That's the Jessamine County version, by the way. Ain't I? All right. Ain't I a man after your own heart? Did I not attend the Baptist temple? Did everything I fight for not fight in your name? I never drank, I never smoked, never chewed, never let my girlfriend do any of that either. Now my kid, kidney's failing, needs a transplant. Why is that, God? Don't you think David wanted to say that? Hey, man, I followed you. Hey, man, I've done everything you've asked me to do. Hey, man, I followed everything you've done. And now I'm out here, and all of my friends are dying, and all of my family's dying, and we're getting slaughtered. Where are you? Anybody ever wanted to cry out to God, where are you? Anybody ever been upset because it didn't go the way you wanted it to go? How do you hold your faith up when that's what happens? How do you stay strong when that's what happens? You want to know what's worse? Oh, you know, this is a verse pastors don't want to teach, but we got. I ain't afraid because it's in here. Look at this. You got to see this because this is rough. This is especially if you've been something or you're going through something. You're not going to like what I'm going to say. And if I came here to preach what you were going to like, you need to move on. Listen, this is hard. My frame is not hidden from you. When I was made in the secret place and when I was woven together in the depths of your body, of the depths of the earth, sorry, your eyes saw my unformed body. Right here. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before they came to be. I'm sorry, preacher. You have to explain that to me. No, I'm not. You heard it right. Listen. All the days were ordained. All the days were set apart. When we ordain somebody here, we come together as a church body in agreement that Steve, in agreement that Spencer in agreement that Preston or Cy have been called to be God's people for God's purpose. You hear that? Ordination means set apart as God's individual for God's purpose. Pre-understood, pre-known, pre-ready, ordained. So the days that you're going through are acknowledged and set apart by God before you were born for you to go through them. Nobody likes it. Nobody wants to hear it. So how do we deal with it? How do you deal with the fact that the hard things that you're going through, listen, and you got to understand the difference, God didn't cause, but He did allow. How do you deal with that? You deal with it by looking at Ecclesiastes. You deal with it by another song, and man, we should have done this instead. In Ecclesiastes, it says, Ecclesiastes didn't say it. The song says it. In everything, turn, turn, turn. There's a reason, turn, turn, turn. Time to laugh and a time to weep. Time to lie down, time to stand up. Time to be born, time to die. And here's what we do. I preached this before, but I'm going to remind you. Here's what we do as Christians. You know what we want? We come to church and we expect the buffet to be all bananas, ice cream, macaroni and cheese, prime rib, none of that Brussels sprout garbage, asparagus garbage, broccoli garbage. We don't want any of that nasty stuff. We want to put on our plate what we want on our plate. That's what we want. We want church to be a buffet of joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the fruits of the Spirit of God. So if I join the church, that's what I'm going to have. Here's the problem. Somebody get out Google and pull me up a recipe for cake. Somebody do it for me. You don't have to. I'm going to ask you a question. What is the main ingredient in cake? Flour. Go home. There's like 3-4 cups of flour in cake. Raise your hand if you like cake, everybody. Raise your hand. All right, I want all of you to go home, take a tablespoon of flour and put it in your mouth. Tell me how good it is. Then don't eat cake. Wait, but I want cake. Well, then don't eat flour. Wait, but I want flour. And listen, sometimes it's a combination of the good and the bad that brings together everything God has planned and ordained for us. That's why He says, your knowledge is too vast for me to understand. There is a way that is higher than my way. We love Asian food. Has anybody know what fish sauce is? Fish sauce? Anybody ever smelled fish sauce? Nasty. You know what fish sauce is? It's herring. Or sardines, basically. Large sardines that are pressed down and the juice that runs out is strained out and salt is added. That's fish sauce. Smells nasty and even tastes nasty. But listen to me. Half a cup of sugar, half a cup of lime juice, a Thai chili pepper, and a cup of fish sauce stirred up together. One of the most delicious Asian dressings you could imagine. I promise you, I know food. It's delicious. Tom yum soup, one of my favorite soups, has fish sauce running all through it. Some of you have eaten it in 2 or 3 different small groups. Yes, you've had it. Squeezed herring juice. You're welcome. And we would never want that just by the cup. But with a sprinkle of this that God didn't make, and a sprinkle of that that God didn't make, we find that the recipe for our lives comes together in a way we cannot fathom. Because God does work all things together for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. But Craig, while I'm there, how can I get through? That is all about perspective. I'm in the middle of several conversations with several spouses and husbands and wives, and they're going through hellacious times. That's just what it is. And the despair that has overcome them because of living in the right now and what is going on right now is literally killing them. And I try, and I want you to hear me. The first way to get through, guys, Listen, the first way to get through is your perspective. And we're going to start with a young David who found his perspective in this. When he looked out as a shepherd boy and he saw the lion, he didn't see the lion as a predator that would take him out. He saw himself as the shepherd who would protect the flock. And so when the lion came and he knew he was ordained to be the protector of the flock, he knew that he was going to win. So he had no fear. When the bear came, he knew he was going to win. So when the giant came, he did not see 9.5 feet of sheer power wearing a 125-pound vest and carrying a spear with a 15-pound point on the end of it. He saw a man opposed to a God that was way bigger. Perspective. How about Peter when he jumps out of the boat? You've got a couple of choices. And here's what happens. When we get caught in the quicksand of despair, all we tend to see and hear is what is going on right here. So Peter had a choice. He could look under the water at nothingness. He could get his head above water, look this way and see a wave that was going to take his breath away again. Look this way and see a wave that was going to take his breath again. Look up and see the rain falling and filling his mouth. Or he could look ahead into the eyes of the only one walking on the water and think, I believe that's where I'm going to aim. What about Jesus in the garden? When the 12 had dispersed and the 3 had come halfway and he had gone the rest of the way alone and he knew that the weight of the world, in every way that I can say the weight of the world, he knew that in hours he would be ripped, beaten, tied, torn, thorned, stabbed. He was eternal, and he knew that his existence would cease. And he cried out these words, and if you do not believe these words happen, you do not believe the scripture, he asked for a way out. He asked for a way out. He asked for a way out. Father, let this cup pass. If you think that Jesus doesn't know the suffering and the fear of the oncoming slaughter, he does. But he chose later than David, not my will, but yours be done. So how did David do it? After he yelled and screamed and let it all out to God and God alone, not to his congregation, not to his spouse, not to his children, to God, he said these words. Search me, test me, know me. But here it is. See if there is any offensive way in me, and what's next? Lead me. And lead me. After his tirade, he chose. After his tirade, he chose. How can David have hope? Because the God of the universe, who's already ordained tomorrow, who's already ordained the victory or the defeat, who has a plan out there that we can't even fathom, is saying, follow me. And David says, no matter the heights, no matter the depths, I believe that you win. And so no matter what that costs me, I will follow you because there's cake. That may not be the best theology ever, or it may be brilliant theology. At the end of all of this, a little sugar, a little vanilla, a few eggs, which I also dare you to just take raw. Put it all together, and you've got what the baker, what the artist, what the creator who knit you from the beginning intended. I cannot promise you there will be always roses without thorns. I cannot promise you that there will be always rainbows without thorns. I cannot promise you that God has intended for your life everything to be, in King James words, honky-dory. I cannot do that. What I can promise you is neither height nor depth, nor angels, nor demons, nor principalities, nor powers of darkness. I can promise you that nothing will separate you from the love that knew you when you were in your mother's womb. From the love of God that loves you no matter where you are. I can promise you that there is nothing about God looking at you and watching you go through suffering that doesn't feel monumentally greater than how you feel if you have a child and you look at them when they hurt. How many of you have called me, have written on Facebook, have sent emails that said, the hardest thing that I go through with my daughter, with my son, is watching them hurt and being able to what? Do nothing about it. Don't you think sometimes God wants to reach down and smite them for hurting you? But His will, His way, His restraint, His wisdom, His foresight, His knowledge keeps Him from it because better is what is out there than what we perceive to be good for us right here. Better is one day what? In your courts. Better is one day standing in judgment by God than 1,000 days on any Caribbean island. The real key to getting out of the quicksand of despair and finding hope is in a hymn. Ask Peter. Ask David. Ask Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. God knows you. Happy, sad, hurting, glad, pain, cries with you, laughs with you, weeps with you, wants to hold you, but knows more. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. Why? He will save you. He will save you. He will save you. There's value in those old words. As the true colors come rising to the top, as we hit the darkest, the lowest, the hardest points in our lives, may I encourage you a couple of things. One, I got a text the other day, and I've preached on it, but I got a text, and here's what it said. I feel like, I know I can make it through it, but I feel like God is giving me more than I can handle. I know He doesn't, but that's what I feel like. Church, listen, look in my eyes. Yes, He does. Yes, He does. Wait, Craig, I've always heard God won't give you more than you can handle. Yes, He does. That's not Scripture. God will not give you more than He can handle. He will overwhelm you with what you can handle. Because you need, come on. God will absolutely give you more than you can handle. And He's wondering if you'll reach up and grab His hand and let Him carry you through it. Well, Craig, no, I'm not going to let Him carry me through it if it means I got to suffer a little more. Well, then you don't trust Him. Well, Craig, I'm not going to let Him carry me through it unless it's done in 7 days. You don't trust Him. Craig, I'm not going to let Him carry me unless I can drive the car and He can sit in the passenger seat. You don't trust Him. That's the key. Either you trust Him or you do not. Either He knows or He does not. Either He loves or He does not. There is no middle. And that is why we suffer. Because we've made church. We've made life. We've made America about finding a middle that everybody agrees on. And there isn't one. God said it. That's it. This is how it is and how it will always be, no matter what we call it. God's end has already happened. I choose to chase Him there. That's it. And that's why we have hope in despair, not hope in spite of. And so I pray for you, hope in the midst of despair. And that the two words that come out of your mouth are, lead me. Lead me. Lead me. Let's pray. God, I need help with the words. I don't have the words to pray. I don't have the words to pray for the people this morning. So I need you. I don't need you to come and speak in another language for me. I don't need you to come and make it heard. I just need in my heart and in the hearts of the people the Spirit of God to move and to God. I need it to touch. I need it to touch Miss Pat where she needs to be touched, and I need it to touch Cody where he needs to be touched. I need it to touch Miss Leela and Michael and Shane. God, I don't have the words now. Whatever came from your word, whatever came from your psalm, whatever comes from us swimming in the waves, whatever comes from us fighting against the quicksand of hopelessness, whatever is needed, pour out your Spirit, Lord, on your people. Now, in Jesus' name, amen.